Here. I hope that you're having a great day. I just wanted to hop on. I think I finally figured out this live. It took me some time. I'm not one of those tech savvy people, but I've had some help. I just wanted to talk about sexual perversion in the church. I have been a little bit more quiet about this, not because I didn't want to say something, but I really wanted just to spend some time in prayer and kind of formulate my thoughts on this. And we know Luke 17:2 says that better that a millstone be hung around your neck and be cast in the sea than to hurt one of these precious little ones. And so I guess that's kind of where I want to start off with this. I believe the reason that we are seeing at large this massive problem with sexual perversion and towards our children and the attack on our kids is one because, in a general or broader sense of the word, the body of Christ hasn't taken a stand on this. Complacency, compromise, and convenience has been traded for the fear of the Lord. And I'm talking about the fear of the Lord. I'm not talking about literally being afraid of God, but walking in a holy consecration before God in a place where there's no compromise. And so I wanted to say something because there's a lot going on in the body of Christ right now. There's a lot being exposed. And God is going to, it says in the word that judgment comes for the house of God first. And so I believe that what God is doing and will continue to do in the days ahead is that there will be exposure inside the house of the Lord first regarding sexual, and I know there's already, let me back up. I know there's already exposure, right? There's already exposure for sexual perversion in the church and other parts of society. I'm not saying that, but we're going to see where sexual perversion has been covered, has been hidden, or hasn't been dealt with in the church. It's going to be more massively exposed. And I believe some of those ministries and churches could be large, and I believe some of them will collapse because you can't serve two gods. And if a church has any sexual perversion rooted in it and it has not been dealt with, it's likened to the synagogue of Satan. You cannot serve and have an altar erected for God and at the same time have an altar erected for Satan. You can't serve two masters. The word says that, and God is not double-minded. He is a man that he should not lie. And so the reason I'm talking about sexual perversion in the church today is there's a lot of things going around. There's a lot of things flowing. And so I feel like someone has to speak for victims. Someone has to speak for the children. I know there are a lot of people speaking up as a survivor slash overcomer of paid child rape. I'm speaking up because enough is enough. And so I'm going to go back to what I was saying earlier, is that I believe that we are where we are because the church has not walked in her identity as the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. And God calls the bride of Christ to be blemish free, to walk blameless and upright. And I have a book that I'm going to be releasing that will really discuss these topics, this issue. I'm not going to give you a completion date, but I just know that for me personally, God gave me a call to action to not align myself with any unholy alliances, that what he was doing had to be zero compromise. And so, I'm just thinking about this attack of children. I mean, when someone, especially ministers in the church, have committed sexual sins against children, I agree that they can be restored back to God, but not to ministry. Children are precious to the Lord. And I go back to Luke 17 too. If you're a sexual predator, you have no business being in ministry. If you have a history of that, being a sexual predator in that case, you have no business being in ministry, especially with regards to children. I just find a hard time there. And I have a hard time with NGOs, and I'm going to talk about this too. NGOs that are supposed to be combating trafficking, but they've compromised values. They've compromised things. And, you know, I'm not going to name any names today. I'm going to behave when it comes to that, I guess. But I really am concerned about this. And so I would tell you that if your pastor is covering something up, or there's no transparency, there's no accountability, then definitely you probably should find another church. It just makes me sick. And so I don't really know what else I could say beyond this. And I'm just still trying to figure out this whole live thing. And I don't even know how many people are watching right now. But I do know that this is wrong on a lot of levels. It's extremely wrong. And so I personally have to call to question people who are trying to restore people back to ministry that have participated in sex crimes against children. I have to call to question that compromise. So, you know, if this means that I'm hated more, then so be it. I don't really care. But I want to look, you know, when I stand before God someday, I want him to be able to say to me that I did everything I could for these children without compromise. And so I guess that's just basically what I wanted to say. And I would encourage you that if you have been a victim of sexual assault, rape, trafficking in the church or outside of the church, you deserve to have your voice heard. You deserve to have the case looked at. You deserve to, you know, to be able to speak up. There's me, and I know there's others that will not dehumanize the voice of victims, will not dehumanize the voice of survivors, will not dehumanize the voices of these overcomers. I think there's a lot of people trying to speak into this that maybe have never been a victim or a survivor or an overcomer of paid child rape or human trafficking or sexual assault. They've never experienced it. And so their voice in this doesn't mean it's dismissed, but it does mean they may not have the same authority that you or I may have into speaking into this. And so, you know, I'm doing my very best to extend a little bit of grace to people that maybe don't understand that. But I really don't have a lot of grace when victims are continued to be basically raped or exploited or not heard or devalued because someone has spent a long time in ministry and they're known and their platform is known. Victims of rape inside the church, let's say, or in a regular setting, are not stumbling blocks that they should never have been born. So if anything, I would just say that there is someone out there that cares. There is someone out there that is on the front lines. I will continue to stand up. One scripture that has been, that I actually signed my books with is Esther 4:14. I won't remain silent. I know my mom didn't, and I won't, and I know there are many others that won't either. And so anyway, I think that's basically all that I really wanted to share today. If you are if you're in ministry and your platform, or your platform or your ministry is more important than taking care of sexual sin in the church, whether it's yours or someone else's, then that platform and that ministry was never built for God, it was built for Satan. And quite frankly, the culture of Satan has been cultivated over the heart of God, because it is not God's heart that this goes undealt with, unnoticed, and that there is no accountability. So that's all I have to say about this. I know it's a very short live. A thank you. I haven't done a live in a long time, probably since I was on Facebook. I've tried. Now I'm going to have more to say, especially regarding some things that we're dealing with. I just want to add one more thing to this. It doesn't really have to do with sexual perversion. Actually, I'm going to save it. I'm going to come back and do another live to address it, because I want to keep this separate. So I'm going to do another live right after this to address this other issue that's coming out. And so thank you so much for tuning in. I just want to say to the victims, survivors, overcomers of paid child rape, sexual assault and battery, sex crimes against you, whatever that looks like, you are brave. Your voice deserves to be heard, and God has a special plan and a purpose for you. And it is not God's heart that you don't have justice for what happened. And, you know, one of my sex offenders / traffickers got off with a $500 fine, maybe like 525, 40 hours of community service, no contact with me. He was able to plea bargain. He had to complete a class and he had to have no contact, but there was no registering as a sex offender. He had to take some kind of class. And then the other sex offender trafficker had nothing happen. And I just had, for me personally, I had to stop carrying the weight and the burden for the execution of justice in that. And instead, you know, God helped me to take what has happened to help initiate forms of legislation and things like that. Now I will tell you, not only you've heard me, I just want to say this, not only have you heard me today say that I don't believe that people who have sexually assaulted sex predators should return back to ministry, but if you have committed sex crimes against children, I'm in full support of the death penalty. 100%. Anyone who participates or in the administration of sex crimes against children, paid child rape, trafficking, grooming, I would even tell you that I'm supportive of the death penalty for people who chop off children's penises and breasts, create a penis for a little girl. I'm hardcore on that stuff. And so I will work tirelessly to see that this type of legislation gets passed in every single state. And we hold people accountable. I actually think this should be an international thing as well, because what we're seeing taking place in other countries where the Islamic culture is taking over the culture of these other countries. Look at the UK with Islamic culture. The Islamic individuals think it's okay to take women and children as slaves and rape them and treat them as animals. And that's not okay. So we have to start pushing back against this through peace, law, and order. In a way that is effective. And if you are a believer and you don't agree with me, or maybe don't agree with me and you're not a believer, that's fine too. But take a look at Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy actually said, I think it was with Dr. James Dobson, it was right before he was going on the electric chair. And if you don't know who Ted Bundy is, you can go look him up. I'm not going to spend time on that. But he committed some serious crimes. And I believe it was Dr. James Dobson. And he went to him and he, you know, according to Ted Bundy, he gave his life to Christ. He repented of his sins. And so Dr. James Dobson asked him, he said, how do you reconcile giving your life to Christ and going in the electric chair tomorrow? And he said, you know, I know when I die where I'm going to go. And look, I don't get to decide people's eternal judgment. I don't get to decide that. That's up to God. That's not my job, right? So that's, I'm not going to get into that discussion, whether you think he deserves heaven or hell. It doesn't matter. It's not my, I don't even want to spend time worrying about that because that's not my role. But he said that he had, you know, given his life to Christ and he knew when he died where he would go. But he said there's still a price to pay for what he did here in the earth. And so anytime people fight back against this death penalty, I share that with them. And so that is where I stand at this point. Sorry, guys. I was trying to figure out what I was doing. Anyway, so that's what I've got for today. If you haven't subscribed to my newsletter, or if you're not subscribed to my channel on Rumble, I've got some great people coming up with interviews, and I've interviewed some legislators. I've interviewed different people that are running for different seats. I've interviewed people on our Little Flower Advisory Board with America's Future. And so, and then I've shared things that God is sharing with me. I share scripture, I do different things. So if that's something you're interested in, you can go to my website, lynz.co. And there is a link to my Rumble channel. You can catch the podcast on my website. I send out a newsletter about 3 to 5 times a week. I highlight articles. Sometimes I write articles, but sometimes I highlight articles of things that are taking place because sometimes people are not tuned in. I'm thankful for Elon Musk and X for the ability to have this free speech. And so if you are interested in doing that, you can go over to lynz.co. I know some people have asked how they can help support me, and that's the greatest way that you can support me and what we're doing. I have some people that will contribute monthly or will contribute to a one-time contribution. You can do that through the website or the newsletter. I'm not asking for that, but if you want to be able to help out in that area, we're doing research and investigating different things with human trafficking, and I don't talk about it publicly because I don't want people to know what I'm up to. I do expose people in government for things that they're doing that are unethical, illegal, or whatever. So anyway, thanks again. I am here. And I may do a spaces tonight. I'm not sure, but I'm going to hop off on this live. I'm going to do one more live and to address some ridicule and complaints about some things. Thank you so much, guys. I hope that you have a great one. God bless.